want to start with, I'll tell you what, I was so excited yesterday, all these messages that went forth, and even the first message, the Lord, as I was hearing him speak, I kept thinking about if I was a pilot, and I'm serious, I went home and I studied, well, what if I wanted to be a pilot? And a pilot is one who takes one from one place to another. Well, I'm sure that you understand this, because I looked up, I said, well, what are the steps of being a pilot? The very first step that you have to be a pilot. And I want you to apply this as, I want to be the bride. I want to be in the bride. So what's the first step I have to do? I have to make the decision. I'm the one who says, you know what? I want to be a pilot. That's the desire that I have in my heart. Well, my desire is I need to make that decision. Do you want to be in the bride? Well, if you want to be in the bride, just like being a pilot, that's the first decision. Then you have to get a medical checkup. We've heard about the true doctrine. It's healthy. It's what's good for you spiritually. And then you have to have an exam, a health exam, to be a pilot. And I think there's three different levels. And I'm not going to go into all this, but it just really touched me that you have to get in and you have to study. What if you got in an airplane or a pilot, someone who just wants to be a pilot? I have that desire. I get in the cockpit. I sit down. I don't know what any of this stuff means. You think you're going to have a good flight? You think it's going to be a nice flight for you? Well, what about understanding the walk that we have with Christ? The beginning to the end of the thing. You are going to have trials, but you have to get in and study to show yourself approved. Understand what God, he wants to show you. He's already planned the path for you. It's already been charted, just like a pilot. And all I could see was this guy going, well, I agree with this button and that button, and he was pushing it. See, I didn't understand it. Can you go back in your spiritual life and say, I remember when they said that, I didn't know one thing about that. Well, always remember, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel. Preach Christ. That's what we're here for, to bring glory and honor unto him. And as I looked at this, I went into John, and we won't go there, but I went into John and I was reading it. It says, as many as they did something. They heard something, but as many received him. As many received him, it was to them. But we have to make that decision. Are you going to receive him in your heart? This truth. To them who received him, he did something. He gave them power to become the sons of God. Not just a child. We're going to grow up. We're going to understand these things. So when you are tested and tried, what are you going to be standing on? What are you going to be believing in? We cannot be wavered and tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You will not have peace. You'll be confused. You'll wonder, well, I don't know what's right anymore. I'll tell you what's right by the authority of God's word. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can go to the Father except by me. So you better know the truth. We better know that we're going the way of him. His way is perfect. He's making our ways perfect because we're growing up in him. We're going from the beginning to the end of the thing. They received power. They were born, and they were not born of the blood of man and the flesh. It's not the will of the flesh. It's not the will of man. It's the will of God. God, it is God who worketh in me. Notice, in me, that's the word of God in Philippians or Colossians. It is God who works in me. Both. That means two things, to will and to do. Okay? So we all say, well, then he does it. He does do it. Everything we walk out and we believe you have received with your heart, he is doing it by God's grace. He has to give the faith. He has to give the grace to every one of us. None of us will be able to say, I did this and I did that. It's going to be the only thing I could do was yield, receive it, believe what I hear, and know that it comes directly from the Word of God. We have to know it's God's Word. I was talking to someone last night. Remember Paul? He said, I feared lest the devil, Satan, in his subtlety, would come and he would persuade you another way. You cannot be tossed to and fro. We have to stand, having done all to stand. We must believe what God says in the Word of God. We must believe it, because I tell you, every line upon line upon line, it will be knit together. It will go. It will fit. Have you ever tried to make something fit like a puzzle? George will tell you, I don't like doing puzzles, but I do them. But I will smash that thing in there. I'll make it fit. And he said, babe, stop pushing. Or my son will say, Mom, stop doing that. You're ruining the whole puzzle. I go, I know, but I'm sure it fits here. I'm sure it fits. Are you really sure? It doesn't look like it. It looks like you're a little frustrated. You're a little confused. Always remember, when you're confused about something in the Word of God, confusion is not of God. It's not of God. You have peace. You have peace with God. You have the peace of God. You have the very God of peace. We need to enjoy who we are in the Beloved. As Vicki said, that blood, and we sang about that. How many of you picked it up yesterday when we sang, there's power in the blood? But it was wonder working power. It works. It fits when it all applies to Jesus, the one that every one of us, we love him. That's why we're here. We want to know him. I've been teaching about having fruit, being born again and bringing forth fruit unto God. The love, joy. Do you have joy? Because it's not confusion. Do you have peace? You see, when you know the God of peace, he's not worried about nothing, and he's sharing his peace with you. You don't have to worry about it. I was talking to a sister. Consider the lilies. They don't toil. They don't spin. They're not, oh, how am I going to do this? And how am I going to fix this? And how am I going to change this? No, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He gives grace to the humble. Ask yourself, are you humble before the Lord? And people go, I think I am. Are you praying? Are you asking God, Lord, help? I need your grace. You're humble. You know why? Because you already know you can't do it. It is God who worketh in you. He'll work it in you and to will and to do. But he's changing our heart. He's putting his will there. We had a testimony, and I bet if that person got up here today, they would tell you, I wanted to do what was right. Romans 7 experience. I wanted to do. I couldn't do it. We must come to that place that we cannot do it. So that's where the lesson is. You go over to 1 Samuel chapter 2. In the first chapter, Hannah, she had to go through this experience. She was barren. How many of you want to have bring forth fruit unto God? You'll see, you're going to see love. You're going to see joy. You're going to see peace. But always remember, I can't look at any one of you and say, oh, I know that person's in the bride. Really, I'm serious. I sat here yesterday thinking about the bride of Christ and how my heart was grieved. It just was grieved because it came out, the whole body is not going to marry Christ. And I went, we are the body. We are his body. We're the church. God knows. Is any here? Is there one? Is there two? I don't know. And I'm not going to look at what I see on the outside. God is not looking at that. God is looking at your heart. He just said it. It was him that was working in you. There are professors that are doing a lot, but that doesn't mean they're in the bride. You must be a possessor. Take what he gave you. Yes, we talk and we read about the blessings in Ephesians, but they're yours. Are you taking your place seated together with him in the heavenlies? Are you praying? Are we making intercession? Do we know it is finished? I want to know the it is finished product. I want to know him. And now it's like yesterday when I thought that, I go, you could possibly not be in the bride. But just always think this. I want him to have the very best. He deserves it. We, by God's grace, God is revealing these things to our heart. Yes, the first trumpet is going to sound. Are you going to hear it? Do you hear him now? Can you hear when the word of God or the Spirit is moving and know his voice? My sheep know his voice. The natural man, the last thing he loses on his deathbed is hearing. The last thing you're going to lose when you're on this earth is to hear him say, come. Come up hither. Come. I used to say, my husband, when he had a stroke, he looked at me and he said, I'm ready. When he began to talk, because he didn't want the burden on me, but he said, I'm ready to go home. And I went, well, how can you be ready? You want to just leave your wife here? I bet you don't even love me then. No, he loved one greater than Penny. He loved Jesus above anyone and anything, and he was ready to go home. Will you go? Will you go at any time I call you? Oh, no, we all talk about, no, I'm just going to go when the trump sounds. We may go by way of the grave. It's his time. Our times are in his hand. But the best part is we don't have to fear these things. You'll hear him. Come, Penny. It's time. Come. I remember Vern when he was passing away. He looked frail, he looked feeble, and he looked worn. But when it was time, that frail body, feeble body, sat straight up in that bed. Everyone thought he was going to fall, so they all want to help. Get that, they want to help. Came over to him and tried to grab him. And Vern went just like this. No, nothing's going to stop me. He's calling me. It's about time. I'm leaving. And he put his hands in the air, and he fell back. His body fell back. He went to be with the Lord. And I said, what a precious testimony. When I'm weak, I'm strong, even on my deathbed. He knew and he heard the voice, and we must hear, but we must pray. Hannah, I want you to see Hannah went through such a trial. Penina had so many children. And when I look at it as I go, she had so much fruit. But she used that, having all those children, she used it wrong. She was provoking Hannah. She was proud. She's trying to make her jealous. envy, strife. Who's that of? The old creation, that old man. And we all still have this body. You still have it. Who are you going to yield to? Feed that new man so you'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You're going to know it's the treasure in the earthen vessel that had the power to overcome. He must give us the grace. Our course is not done. There are many things ahead of us. We don't even know what's ahead. We just say, I will go. Rebecca didn't know where she was going. But I love this one part because I'm getting off my lesson, but it's his lesson. You know, Eliezer, that's what I how I say it, but Eliezer, he made the camels to kneel. Whose camels were those? He's a steward of another man's goods. That was his master's camels. They were for a purpose. He made those camels, they're peevish little animals. He made them to kneel down. Rest. You need a drink? We're going to rest here. But then I kept reading and it said, and Rebecca, she made them drink. She made them drink. It's not like, you're going to drink this now. I believe that woman is full of the Holy Spirit. Those camels have a need. Of course she's going to make them drink. She's just the vessel. She's there to offer them the water that is needed. And they will drink this water. But I also think that this is a relationship between the bride and being led of the Spirit. And speaking when he says speak. Give the water when I say give the water. Let it freely move. Not, well, I better not say that because somebody's not going to like it. We're not here to please flesh. We are here because we love each other and we want to grow up and be ready. We want to be ready. That's why you speak the truth in love. You want them to know the truth. One truth, folks. There's only one. Somebody's wrong. Somebody's wrong. If there's only one, why does it seem like there's 25 different doctrines out here? Somebody's not hearing the Lord. He that hath an ear. And it doesn't say he who hath ears to hear. It doesn't say that. When you get down to those seven churches in Revelation, he that hath an ear for truth, singleness, judged by the sunlight, singleness of heart. I just, you know, and you're pretty, I don't think it's my job to go around saying, well, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right. What a battle, okay? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Walk with the Lord. Know he loves you. Lean upon his breast. Talk to him. Ask him, Lord, show me. Don't be like the Shulamite. Draw me and we'll all run after you. I know they're going to hear it just the way I heard it. No, they're not. No, they're not. They will if they're listening to the Spirit. Because it should be the power of the Holy Ghost moving you, speaking in and through you. Hannah wanted a child so bad, she got depressed. She wasn't eating at all, she wasn't drinking. And her husband says, what's wrong with you, Hannah? Now think of it, am I gonna eat this? I'm not doing it, I'm not drinking either, I'm just depressed. I'm not getting it. I'm not growing. I'm not getting the fruit in my life. Continue on. Have that hope. Patient in hope. Patient. That means you still believe God. If God said, I'll show it to you. I'll give it to you. You don't have to get all frustrated about it. If I want you to know, I'll show it, right? Well, he does want us to know. And as we went through, Hannah, she prays. And then when you go over to chapter 2, and I love this, law, grace, and the millennial. Law, grace, and the millennial. She has learned an experience. She's walked with him. She's talked with him. She's in there making intercession, and she's weeping, and she's sorrowful of soul. But there came a day, and it came in as Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Yes, he delivers us from all this and all this. Praise his name. All the rest follows, but praise him. Because now you know him. You know what he can do. Hannah learned this by experience. Hannah prayed in chapter 2 and verse 1 and said, my heart, where is he working? In the heart. I rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. My horn, my power, it's exalted. My power is exalted, but it's in the Lord. Thy mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Thy mouth. Because why? Because I rejoice in thy salvation. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't tell us what was going to be going on today in our lives, in the churches. He didn't tell us all that, no. But he said, I did tell you one thing. Fall in love with me. Don't you let anyone try to come in and disturb that love relationship that you and your husband to be. Don't let that engagement be ruined. There is none. Here she is. She's in prayer, but I tell you what, she's making it very plain to the law. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Not a person, not a thing, not a place, but our God. She says, I know. They may say they're holy and they do these things and they're getting this and they're standing on the rock. But I'll tell you what, there is nothing to stand in unless we know the truth. Here's what she says about the law. She's grown now, see? Penina used to sit there and just irritate her to death. And it was torment. And we know torments of the devil. Don't you talk some more exceedingly proudly. And she just said, because there's none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. So you need to just stop talking so proudly. Stop being so arrogant. And letting all that come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him our actions are weighed. It didn't say by me your actions are weighed. It says the Lord, he's looking at the heart. He knows the desire of our heart. He will bring it to pass. By him our actions are weighed. There were many in the scripture, as we heard in the thing yesterday. You hear, but what do you do with it? You see, we got to take some action. I hear it. I believe it. Oh, that's when you get the grace to walk in it, to take it. But I guarantee you're not going to be going, oh, I'm so good, and I'm this, and I'm that. The bows of the mighty men, the bows, not the arrows. Law, if you want to be under the law, the bows of the mighty men, they're broken at Calvary. At Calvary, Jesus said, it is finished. It's finished. And they that stumble are girded with strength. Okay, starting right there with that verse, the second part, you go 1-4. What the law could not do because it was weak through the flesh. I can only do all things through him who giveth the strength. As thy days be, so shall thy strength be. Here we go. And they stumbled, but guess what? Grace to cover all their need. They stumbled, but he girded them. He was right there. He girded them with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and that doesn't mean the barren bore seven babies. It means perfect fruit, whole, complete. It was all his work. He did it all. You see, she was barren. She couldn't even do it. He did it. And she didn't bargain with the Lord and say, well, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. No, she wanted that child that she could raise him up, but that he would bring glory and honor. Said the hungry ceased. The barren hath borne seven, and she hath many children, is waxed feeble. See, the one who had so much, she was waxed feeble. And I think I wrote that down, but if not, it just means you're weak. It came to nothing. It came to naught. It looked really good, but it came to naught, to nothing. The Lord killeth. He maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave, but he brings us up. The Lord maketh poor. We have to know we're poor. We have to really know that we died. We were buried. But he didn't keep us in a dirty old grave. He said, I'm justified because I have been raised up in a new man now. He maketh rich. You see, they're poor because when you could have everything and still be poor. I thought of drinking at the well, giving drinks at the well. What kind of drinks are you giving to people? Come on now, it satisfies their thirst. That's why they're drinking, they need it. It'll satisfy you. Come on, drink from this. But look what God said. This is a well that we can drink from. And we can have life eternal, a spring of water springing up within my soul. Spring up, oh well, inside of me. But we have to believe it's really true. And then we just call on him. Help, Lord, help. Have you ever saw your flesh wanting to say something or do something? But you have to recognize it. You have to recognize it. Let me tell you, you still got flesh. You still have it. And there's a battle going on. It's a spiritual battle. But God said, I knew you were going to have this battle. That's why I told you, put on the whole armor of God. You need every part of it to fight a good fight. A winning fight. That's a good fight. It's because he's doing it. He's done it. And he's now working in us that we can enjoy this. He lift the beggar out of the dunghill to set them where? Look right here, verse 8. Bridal truth right here. He raised you up out of the dunghill to set them among princes. And to make them to do what? To inherit the throne of glory. To inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He hath set the world upon them. He will keep. Remember we had keep yesterday? He will guard you from all loss, harm, or injury by keeping his eye upon you. And then that's what's going to happen in your life. Keep your eye upon him to guard you from all loss, harm, or injury. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked, they shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. You see, most people think, well, if I'm strong, I get to be called the prevailer. No, when I'm weak, he will make you valiant. He will make you a warrior. He'll teach you how to stand. He'll teach you how to wait and to trust him. I see what's going on, and I am fighting this battle. He, you know, most people don't believe that, and that's why they're out there picketing. He don't want us out there holding up signs going, do this and do that and do that. That isn't even peace. You're still trying to get something across. Just preach, it's done. He did it. He's going to do it all for us. The adversaries of the Lord. Look here in verse 10. Now we're down in Revelation in the millennial. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. And I don't think he needed any man's hand to help him. He does it. Out of the heaven shall he thunder upon them. Who? The wicked. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king, and he will exalt the horn, the power of his anointed. Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. She did exactly what she had said in her prayer. But I was so thankful when I read this, because it was like, he is our strength. You can go in 2 Chronicles 20 when you get home. Read about what David said. He's my rock. He's everything. He taught me how to climb these high places. How to get up there. How do we get out of this valley? He raised us up out of a pit. A miry pit. How do we get out of this place? Are we even asking? And we go, I'm going to try everything I can to get out of this pit. That's what the natural man would do. You don't have to. Preach Christ, how he was taken up out of the pit. And then when you're taken up out of the pit, you'll keep going. And probably I would think that if I got delivered out of a slimy pit, I'd be rejoicing in the Lord 24/7. Now there's more trials ahead. That's strengthening you. You're getting strong, but it's not in your own strength. He's strengthening you for what's tomorrow. What is ahead? We don't know. He does. That's why he loves us so much. And he's making us ready. He's making us ready for each of these trials. He's teaching you how to run. He's teaching you to run for the prize. If you already won the prize, you can all sit down. You already won. That's where my heart got grieved yesterday as I thought. When I thought, we are his body, and out of that body, there will be a rib portion. Lord, who? He said, well, it'll be manifested. And we'll see as he sees. In the beginning of time, God created everything. He spoke the word. And it came in existence. And that's why I love it, because I know the power of the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. He said, and he made it, and he saw. He saw it was good. What God said was manifested, and he saw it was good. He didn't say, oh, that was good. That day's good. No, he saw it was good. It was the word of God being manifested in its power and the glory and the beauty. And if we miss that one word, we've missed a lot. He did see it. He saw everything manifested. And there's a day coming. There's going to be a manifestation of the sons of God. There's going to be that day. And see, we have that hope. Never saying, I think it was him. I don't remember who said what. I just know it was the Lord. They saw a city whose builder and maker was God. Come on, they didn't see it like this. They saw it by faith. Why? And I came to me by the power of the Holy Ghost. How can he see that? How can we see things that are ahead? My dove, she has dove's eyes. Far-seeing. She can see beyond the trial. She sees beyond this, beyond that. God is working. He's not done working in any one of us. That's where grace comes in. Will you love until the work is done in our hearts? It is provisionally, and I will say this over and over because I know it's from God. It is done provisionally. But it is not in practicality. Is your sanctification, are you set apart for him? In practicality, you believe what he said? Sin shall not have dominion over you? Do you really believe that? It'll be manifested. What's in the heart will come out. That's why don't get upset when your heart doesn't, the right thing isn't there. And sometimes I go, oh, why not do that? And it's like the Lord says, because I'm working to work. But I guarantee you when I'm done, letting all this provisional become practical in your life by God's grace only, you're going to love it. You're going to go, how did you do that? How did you do that? But you know what? Most of all, you're going to be praising him. You're going to be kneeling and praising the Lord. So starting today, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. If it's something that you have a care and you're anxious about anything, give it to God. See if he'll do it. You see, but don't say, only if he does it, I got peace. If I have that kind of peace and that kind of hope, well, I guess all my loved ones and everybody I love so much, I might as well just hang it up. I'm not relying on their flesh. You know what I say? By God's grace, if they're walking in the flesh, how often do they hear the word of God? They're only walking in what they know. That's what they know. So we need to be praying one for another. And I think the Lord is just, I don't know, he just laid on my heart that we've got to get that. Not that you don't care about the rest of the body, but we do when we start going, well, what's that person going to do? What's this thing going to do? What's this, this? That's all confusion again, and it's the flesh. What is that to thee, Penny? Follow me. Follow me. Let's all stand.